Blog Talk Radio.
I fell by the wayside, like everyone else. I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, but I was just kidding myself. Our every moment, I started a place. Cause now that the corner lock, here were the words that I needed to say. When you hurt under the surface, like troubled water running cold. Well, time can heal, but this won't. So never the right time, whenever you're cold. Went little by little by little until there was nothing at all. Our every moment, I started a play. But all I can think about is seeing that look on your face. When you hurt under the surface, like troubled water running cold. Well, time can heal, but this wound.
Can you speak up?
Hello, everyone. Somehow that was at the end of the song. Welcome to Joyful Tuesdays and to part two of our tribute to Banjolin. Just so everyone is aware, there were some poems that were carried over from last night to tonight. We're going to do our best to get, most everything read. Not sure what the possibility is of everything, but we'll give it a whirl. Pam and I are brave, right, Pam? And and as we're reading them, we're putting them over into the tribute room for Banjolin under the topic boards for the specific nights. So anyone who's interested can go over and check them out and read them themselves if they can't hang on all night. But the archives are also available for the shows. So with that being said, Pam, welcome aboard. And, We have a great night of poetry ahead of us.
We sure do. It is just, it really touches my heart to see so many great responses, and I'm just looking forward to delving into them. And, of course, it's an honor to be part of this show.
Absolutely. I did not know Banjolin personally. It's not someone I sat and talked with every day. But I have to say, every time I saw one of her poems, I was just kind of blown away. She had a wonderful way with words, and I thought she was a real talent on all poetry. So just fabulous, fabulous stuff. And she will be dearly missed by many. By very many.
Oh, absolutely.
So, okay. Let me see. We have two callers. So let me pick up. We have Gray Eyes Smith. Hello, Gray Eyes. How are you tonight?
Hi, Bill. Hi, Pam. I'm good, thanks.
Hi,
how are you, ladies? Hi.
I think we're having
a good.
Absolutely. And second, we have Edinburgh. And I hope I pronounced it right. Hello, Edinburgh. Welcome to the show.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yes. Edinburgh, but that's fine.
Edinburgh, that's good.
Yeah.
It's good to know I'm saying it wrong, see? So Edinburgh.
No.
It's good to have you.
Hello?
Okay.
No, I just broke up there for a moment. Sorry, yeah. Carry on, sorry.
That's okay.
This is my first time connecting with the show in this way, so I'm very pleased to be part of things, and obviously it's a sad show, but nevertheless, we can move on, hopefully, in a positive way.
Yeah, and you know, it gives people an opportunity to voice their thoughts and feelings, and I think that's a wonderful outlet for everyone. So,
yes.
Now I know that you are across the pond, and
that's correct.
It's late yet, so I don't know how long are you going to be here for a while, or are you? Do you need to read your own?
I think I can stay for a while. Yeah. Yeah, as I say, it's my first sort of contact with you in this way, so I'm learning as I go. But yeah, I'll stay as long as I can.
Edinburgh, we're all learning as we go. Don't let us fool you. You know, it's been 7 years, and we're still learning, right, Pam? Right, Greg? You know,
absolutely.
It took me 2 years before Greg taught me something. I was like, wow, check that out. Make what it is. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. We're going to start. Tan, I think I'm going to have you read the first one, if I can find that. That has no idea.
All right.
Yeah, exactly where I want to start. Okay. Let me put this piece up by June Johnson. Well, that's just what allows me. And I'll drop it in the other room, so don't worry about it. Okay, whenever you're ready.
All right. This is, most women would love rose petals left on the floor and would call you a romantic, by June Johnson. Here I am stranded in your coffee waiting for this damn morning to be over as you babble about some weather advisory to you. Everything is an emergency except the look on my face. You are so damn clueless, drowning in the rain. You don't have to be a farmer to know chickens get their wings clipped too. Face it, most men like things that cannot fly and fit in their back pockets. And no, this ain't no Maya Angelou poem, if that's what you are thinking. The first time we screwed, lights off, eyes shut, too drunk to stand, you called this making love. I smoked a cigarette in bed like they do in the movies. Maybe I let you move in because I didn't want another muse. You were a rock, you were like a rock in a windshield, and that's what I wanted. That commercial ditty for auto glass replacement is now stuck in my head. At least with us, it's so easy to call myself a woman, as you are so damn clueless. You would buy me roses from the convenience store Don't you know I fall for men who never return a phone call, leaving me staring out the window, you know, those unavailable types. Back then, I could at least call myself a poet, even if I did plagiarize. With us, I play dead in this secondhand smoke of a relationship that I dare to call a poem, where I counted at least 5 cliches and a couple run-on sentences. I guess I should always been one of those tell and not show poets. End poem.
Great read, Pam. June never ceases to amaze me either. Her work is always great. Okay, now, since we have so much poetry, we're only going to do 3 comments on each piece. So first off, I'd like to welcome Laurent to the show. Hello, Laurent. Welcome aboard.
Thank you, Jean. Good evening. Good evening.
Greg, you want to start us off on this comment?
Sure. I thought she really did a fantastic job emulating the style and the cadence of Bandolin's work. You know, honestly, as I was reading this, I felt like I was reading Bandolin's work because she was so metaphorical and cryptic. Just a beautiful poem capturing the essence of Bandolin quite beautifully.
Great comment, Greg.
Great comment.
Yeah, wasn't it? Now, Eden Ray, how about you? Do you want to comment on this one?
Yeah. Well, not knowing, not being clear who the author of this poem was, I did immediately feel that I was hearing Bandolin, actually. So it certainly connects in the same way, in certain lines, especially with the thoughts and feelings of the poet we are discussing and looking at tonight. So, yeah, it strikes a chord, a very human feel to the words, and brings you to that central place where the poet Bandolin did. I think it's a really nice piece. I'm not so familiar with it, but on my first, that's my first hearing of it. I would definitely say that.
Right. Well, that was a great comment. I'll tell you what, I'm sending you a link, Edenbury, so that way you can see these poems as we post them.
Oh, yes, please. Thank you.
You're welcome. And Laurent, did you happen to hear the poem? I know you called in somewhere during the read.
I read the poem, and I heard about half of it. It was well read. I thought it was a fascinating piece, a real look inside someone's mind. And she begins it so dramatic. Well, I was almost thinking of a beat poet. Here I am stranded in your coffee. I mean, that's such a perfect little phrase. And all the way through, she has that skill, June Johnson does. When you can see the inside of somebody's mind like this, as they sit opposite their mate, and the mate has no clue whatsoever what's going on. And then you kind of listen to this stream of consciousness thinking. She does it very, very well. It's a fascinating piece.
Nice comments. Nice comments, everyone. Okay, so next, I'm going to ask Gray, would you please read the next one for us? And this one is by Oak Blue 34.
Yeah, you bet.
Thank you.
Sorry You're Gone From Us, Bandolin Tribute by Oak Blue 34. You taught me things about poetry I never knew I needed to learn. You had a way with images and words that lit a fuse of explosive energy when I expected calm and reserved. Your poetry was real, not some phony stuff written to win a contest or get likes and comments of praise. I suspect you didn't care about all that, but rather used words to express feelings that most of us could never put on paper. Sometimes when I read your poetry, I thought I should abandon efforts to be a poet. I could not compete, but your imagery and depth descriptions were more about inspiration, and you would have whipped me stupid if I used your writing as an excuse to extinguish my own flame. So now I am left with diving deeper into your world, going back and reading what you've left us to ponder about. Everyday life, living with oneself and others, surviving in the cold, stark reality of a world hell-bent on battering itself into oblivion. End poem.
Great read, Greg. Great read. And Laurent, do you want to start us off with this one?
I'll be happy to. What he got from Oak, what Oakblue got from his relationship with Vangelin, according to this, is really pretty special. When you find somebody who can inspire you the way she apparently inspired others is pretty remarkable. And concrete examples are not necessary. He speaks, Oakblue speaks about her poetry being real, not some of phony stuff written to win a contest or get likes and comments of praise. I have to agree with that. That's sometimes real poetry is liked only by the author for one reason or another. He speaks well of her efforts. He speaks well of her, and of course that's what this is all about, a testament to a great poet.
Nice comment. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this is just an absolutely beautiful tribute to her. I really like this all the way through, but what especially spoke to me is that beginning with the idea of how he learned from her, because that makes me think about how we learn from each other. And what I like about that is that he learned from her that poetry, your poetry doesn't have to be what other people expect it to be. I also mm-hmm. really like the line near the end that says, so now I am left with diving deeper into your world, going back and reading what you left us to ponder. You know, I thought that was really the heart of the poem, was the realization of going back and pondering someone's words after they've left us behind. So excellent write and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. And Gray, I know you read it, but do you want to comment on it for us?
Sure. I thought it was a wonderful tribute to our fallen poet, Vangelin. You know, she really was a powerful presence in the poetic fashion. She had strong rights. Almost every right was impactful and entertaining, and deeply penned as well, coming from her heart. So, yeah, it was a beautiful tribute. A pleasure to read it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comments, everybody. Yeah, it was a wonderful piece by Oakblue. I thought that he captured, I thought it was a wonderful tribute, and I thought that he captured that bit of Vangelin nicely. So, well done, Oakblue. Okay. Edinburgh, did you find that link that I sent you?
Yeah, I'm struggling with that a little bit. I've found there's just three poems on that link that you sent me, and I didn't recognize
correct. The... There are the three that we've read already. I'm just going to post
okay.
them as we go along.
Okay,
we're
so...
good then.
Yeah, okay, I'm catching up then. Bear with me.
There you go.
What, so where are we?
Well, I'm just getting ready to put up the first poem, and this is called Together in Seasons of Hell by Chinaski. So Pam will be putting that up in a minute. And I have an audio for this one.
Okay. I cannot see that.
That's okay. I think she's probably getting ready to put it now. There it is. Just at the board over there. And here we go. I'm going to play that audio.
And you'll remember Poems of the Voice in Unmarked Graves. As piled driftwood roams. Saw you standing at heaven's door with unanchored rhythm, merry-go-rounds, your hair flowing freedom during dark hell war days. We have the midnight creatures, crawling kick snakes in our bed, where cruel czars tossed the dreams, fled with black rivers turned to red. Now it comes to pass, with the weather overhead, that our childhood forest is now burnt and dead. With the war now rearing its ugly head, looking into eyes of our worldly end, take my hand to empty grains of sand, and we'll stay as planted seeds that will grow upon ashes, turn dust, then the float, billowing breeze. We'll drop together as doves, roaming wandering upon heated streets, howling midnight moons, undressing midnight dreams. Voices called as we took off our masks, returning to our beginning grown redwood trees. But today we must sleep, covered in soil blankets and crowded graves, cradled arms holding us back from yesterday's ruined remnants, resembling dry ashen theaters, cutting out dreams. Amid flurry, choppy tides, a harsh winter, children's dark night. We raced as hurricanes through islands, random abandon, conquering delight. Light feathers revolved upon waves, rolling dead. Forever in deep sleep, blinking eyes, kissing the land, cleansed by storms, we'll drift sealed together toward horizon.
Great audio, Chinaski, and what a wonderful poem. And I want to welcome Rolling Stone for to the show.
Yes, I'm here.
Pam, yeah, good to have you here. Pam, do you want to kick this one off?
Oh, I would be happy to. You know, it's always good to hear a reading from Chinaski. You know, he's got such a beat poet feel to him. There's powerful imagery and metaphors throughout. What I really like is, to me, that I get the main message that this is how, as poets, as a community, we're there for each other in times of peace and in times of hell, you know, including, you know, those personal hells that we all go through. I really like... We have the midnight creatures crawling king snakes in our bed, where cruel czars tossed the dreams, fled while black rivers turned to red. Now it comes to pass with the weather overhead that our childhood forest is now burnt and dead. As poets, we really want to hang on to those childhood forests, but we can't always do that, you know, and so just a stunning write and very well done.
Nice. Nice comment, Pam. And Edinburgh, did you hear that poem? Did you get a chance to read it?
Yeah, I'm. I think you better pass on me at the moment because I'm struggling to
okay.
catch up with this link that you're sending me.
Okay.
I apologize, but I'm not finding it.
No problem. And Gray, you want to come in on this? Are you on mute, Greg?
Sure. I liked it. You know, it's done in his unique signature of reading and the music in the background. You know, the poem was powerful and haunting. You know, the feelings were palpable through the write, and it was deeply engaging as well. His metaphors were spot on and very rich.
Absolutely. Okay, and Laurent, how about you?
Fascinating piece in terms of the writing style. It's not quite psychedelic, but I might call it a little psychedelic, a little surreal, a little stream of consciousness, but not haphazard at all. Definitely constructed the way he wanted it constructed. His use of words, his phrasing, I find absolutely enlightening. His metaphors and imagery are just, they're fantastic, I think. And by that, I mean... like a fantasy. Amid flurry, choppy tides, a harsh winter, children's dark night, We raced as hurricanes to islands, random, abandoned, conquering delight. Such a nice piece.
Very good, very good comments. And Roland, did you happen to hear that piece?
No, I did not. Okay. Sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. Laurent, can I get you to read the next one for us, please, by Rooster C?
You certainly may.
Thank you.
Good old Rooster Cogburn. This is called Sweet Elysium. This world is brimming with those eager, make big, fame, fortune, flashing lights, craved for delights, entrepreneurs to millionaires, sole purpose of the flight. Good luck to those inclined, yet be aware. Take care, dreams do come true, though to fall city streets smack hard. Why so? I never was that single-mindedly driven. An idealist, a dreamer, Patty poet, been called worse, but show me innocence, show me love, a flower in radiant bloom. Then I'll pen words to melt your heart, and that's a given. End poem.
Nice read, Laurent. Roland, do you want to start us off on this poem?
Who did you ask?
Roland.
I'm sorry. I did not catch the title of the poem, so I was unable to read it, and it was hard to hear clearly the words. So I'd have to refrain from commenting at this time unless I can come back into it. What was the title of the poem?
It's called Sweet
Elysium. Sweet
Elysium. Yeah.
All right. We'll go to someone else and come back to me. I see Sweet Asylum. Is that it? Sweet Elysium?
It says Elysium. L-Y-S-S-U-M.
By Rooster?
Yes.
All right. We'll go to someone else. I'll read the poem and then I'll comment.
Okay. No problem. Pam, do you want to start us off on this one?
I apologize. Did you say my name?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yes, I would be happy to. You know, I love that title, Sweet Elysium, and I like that he put the subnote in that Sweet Elysium is a pretty little flower that blooms all year long. And I like that idea, the idea of someone's spirit blooming all year long through their poetry. I really liked this poem. It went straight to the point. It was a lovely brevity on the idea of wanting to be a poet or an artist who expresses truth and emotions rather than pushing to have the dreams of fame and fortune fulfilled. And I think this makes for a wonderful tribute to Banjo, because I think that truly was, as far as I, and I was someone who didn't really know her that well either, just through her poetry. But it seems to me from what other people say to her, she had the type of personality where she was never out for fame or fortune, just simply to express emotions. So excellent write and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. And Gray, how about you?
Now, you know, I agree with everything that Pam said in her comments, but, you know, it was a wonderful tribute to this wonderful person. You know, you can feel the reverence that he has for her in this rite. And I really enjoyed the title as well. Just a beautiful poem.
Absolutely. It was a very beautiful poem. And Roland, are you ready?
Yeah, there was some exceptional phrasing in here. I really appreciated the tonality. And this voice, it sings and it resounds with distinction. I found a number of very elegant lines in it, and the poem was built around it, carrying strong images and tones confirming so. Certainly is a lovely tribute. I enjoyed it throughout. It did carry a light and breezy, free-feeling, in a fine portrayal. It was a pretty cool poem. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a sweet poem. It brought me to tears when I read it the other day. I was like, whoa. Okay, Rowan, can I get you to read the next one for us by Malibu?
By Malibu? Okay. Let me get over there.
I just put it in the room, L&P.
All right, very well. I wish I could play a banjo and make it smile like a sunny afternoon. Perhaps I will never make your favorites list. My love poems take a back seat to your titles, longer than my poems. And I wonder if you'll put your hand up to the morning sun and say, not today, Malibu, save your breath. My teacup's full of steam. My bloodshot eyes are held up on stilts. No need for salt and pepper on my sunny side up eggs looking at you. And even if I could claw my way into your favor with metaphors that blind you without the shadow of a lover you doubt, I won't feel bad thinking my world crumbles in the silence of your poetry. I just want to say this. For a banjo, you play the strangest music for me to dance to. Blah, blah, blah. And I love it like that. End poem.
Great read. Let's see. Pam, do you want to start us off?
Absolutely. This is wonderful because it has a sense of humor to it. It's the kind of poem that makes you smile. I think that's a title that she would very much enjoy. I don't know. There's something just, like I said, it's the humor. It's in the heart in it. I thought it was just delightful with its tribute, and I have no doubt at all that this would make Banjolin smile. So excellent write and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. Eden Bray, did you happen to read this one along with us?
Yeah, I've got to find this one now in the contest list. Very nice write. Just catches that offhand, free-flowing manner of Banjolin. And I love some of the lines in this. As I said, they're almost throwaway lines. My teacup's full of steam and my bloodshot eyes are held up on stilts. No need for salt and pepper on my sunny side up eggs looking at you. They're just great lines, just full of imagination and well written. Yes, it's a lovely tribute.
Nice comment. And Gray, I think you're next on the list. Yes.
Yeah, I like the humorous aspect of it. Was really well read as well. But for a banjo, you play the strangest music for me to dance to. Blah, blah, blah. And I love it like that. Just a beautiful sentimental poem. And that ending really reminds me of Banjolin's work. So.
Nice comment. Pam, that's going to bring me back to you.
What's that?
No, I was coming back to you for the next poem. That's all. I didn't. Yeah. So, but it turns out that, there it is. This one. Okay. And whenever you are ready, and I'll put this over in the other room.
Sounds good. All right. Banjolin by Becky Upchurch. I swear I felt it, an earthquake in the deepest part of me the other day, in a place inside me I often feel tremors when I chill towards this world, and the night dipped its cold over here and there, a tossing and turning, quaking, and I loved this night, I felt alive, but Dave brought heavy worry. I don't worry well,
and it took 2 days of all I had before the third day, the resurrection day of knowing why the earth faulted, sucked you in. Now quiet has paused all these things. I can breathe, bury the worry, praise the day, quake in the knowing Banjo was here. End poem.
Nice read, Pam. Nice read. Noah, you want to start us off on this one?
Sure. The emotional turmoil felt at her death, phrased as an earthquake, I think is very apt. And the observation in the night dipped its cold over here and there, tossing and turning, quaking. And I loved this night. I felt alive. And at first I thought that was odd in view of what had happened, but I do understand what Becky meant. Because sometimes when you experience emotions like that, you do feel more alive than at other times. But then day brought worry, but time brought acceptance. And I like that, the coming to terms of her death. Well done, Becky.
Nice comment, Matt. And Roland, how about you?
I found this poem both sad and beautiful. This section really captured me. Before the third day, the resurrection day of knowing why the earth faulted, sucked you in. Now quiet has paused all things. Just tremendous. In fact, it gave me chills. The hair on my arm stood up with just that line alone. That is absolutely beautiful. The poem is well writ. It's a very heroic poem to Banjolin, who's dearly missed. And the entirety throughout the read, with its fine tonalities, was painted with professional care. Definitely a poem worthy of accolades and recognition. It's precious. And I'm sure that everybody here certainly would agree. It's just a beautiful poem of success. Well done.
Great comment, Roland. And Edenbury, how about you?
Yeah, I think when you read the feeling and imagery of this piece, it just connects with what Banjolin and poets like Banjolin represent to people, and it shows such the depth of community feeling such a loss as this, and this poet has expressed that so deeply in an almost religious rite. Well, a very religious rite, but it recognizing the importance that this poet had for her, and I think that's very, very deep and very meaningful. And there's some really nice lines, very nice, well-written poem. Great tribute. Well done to Becky. That's where I'm with that one. That's a really nice piece.
I'm sorry.
Great comment, Edenbury. I'm not too sure what's up with Phil's. There she is.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that. Edenbury, is there a chance I can get you to read the poem by Scratch and Post?
By who? Sorry, the connection isn't really great, so just bear with. Yes, say that again, please.
It's by Scratch and Post. It's
Scratch and Post. I'm finding it in the contest list because I can't find it any other way, so just bear with me.
Okay.
Scratch and Post, yeah.
Yeah, it's Cupid's Dart.
Yes.
Sorry to take a while here. Is it early on in the list or
number six?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to waste. I don't want to. Oh, yeah, I found it. I found it. Yeah. Okay. I shall read this. Yeah. Damned by Cupid's Dart by Scratch In Post. I thirst for your words upon my words like a lover for another, close and warm in rhythm might. If I promise to read you, will you read me tonight? Sorry, I've read that wrong. If I promise to read you, will you read me too tonight? But the truth is, the quill has left the bow, and the arrow is in too deep. I can never belong to you. I can never belong to you. I can never belong to you. Just let me go to sleep. Just let me drift with the waters, with such song as gravity may give. Let the bells say in the tolling, he lived. In the minor key, he lived, and was buried in the gloaming, among the willows in the gloaming, falling headlong into longing on the tips of Cupid's shiv. Deep feeling again, deep feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. Gray, do you want to start us off?
Sure. Excellent read, Eden Bray. But, you know, I really like the poem. I mean, it had her her essence of metaphor, and it was just a powerful write to who she was and how she stood. You know, I can never belong to you. I can never belong to you. Just let me sleep. Just let me drift with the waters, with song, with such song as gravity may give. Let the bells say in the tolling, he lived in the minor key. He lived and was buried in the gloaming. Yeah, hard-hitting, right? Very powerful.
Great comment. And Ron, how about you?
Did you say Roland?
Actually, I said Laurent. I must have. I think I need a new voice.
Yeah, I heard you. I love the stanza that was just read by Gray. The just let me drift through the waters of such song as gravity may give. That's a wonderful image. This is a short piece, but very impactful. A lover who is head over heels for someone who is not of an equal mind. The use of the word shiv at the end, I think, conveys some of the disdain that was in the title, Damned by Cupid's Dart. Because normally, you know, you're not going to use a word like that, but it was there on purpose. Well done.
Nice comment. And Roland, now is your turn. Sorry about
okay.
that.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking in some of the lines, very moving and quite disarming, particularly this one got me. The quill has left the bow and the arrow is in too deep. Just amazing. I mean, that just to me, just I'm almost speechless with that because it's such sad heartbreaking.
Yes.
Very impressive. It is a short poem. Didn't matter because its precision is so accurate in its intention that it delivers quite extraordinarily well. Well done to Scratch and Post. Supremely enjoyable. Very well indeed.
Great comments, guys. Great comments. Okay. Greg, that's going to bring me to you. Can I get you to read the one by Bill Cantrell, please?
You bet.
Thank you.
My Poetry Bows to Yours by Bill Cantrell 1. Inside her pen resides an ocean of thoughts. vast and teeming with creativity, enchanting currents leading to various depths, eddies detaching themselves as thoughts are conceived, properly placed in mother-of-pearl stanzas, never coming up for air. Where do they go? She collects them in the quiver of her soul. I'm told that behind the waterfalls of her heart, fairies build their humble nests. Is it true they sleep on angels' wings with pillows stuffed with holy down? Tides reach for the moon in the dead of night as trees reach for the sun to partake of its light. Oceans, under layered elegance, she directs currents to weave a tapestry of perfection. As you have all taken note, they take us to that happy place, only found in the highest ranks of poetry, and we find peace and rest in her pen. It is a child of trust, instilled instinct coupled with free will. To what end? Do you not know by now? To give, again and again. And for that, my poetry humbly bows before you. End poet.
Nice job, Gray. Nice job. And Laurent, that brings me to you to start us off.
Yes, indeed. What a piece, huh? The use of the ocean, the currents, the eddies. The ocean is all enveloping. Once it swallows you, you are there, body and soul. So to use that to describe the ocean of thoughts, I thought was very well done. Oceans, under oceans, under layered elegance. She directs currents to weave a tapestry of perfection, as you've all taken note, and describes, of course, that happy place where we find peace and rest. I thought the phrase, her pen is a child of trust, instilled instinct coupled with free will. When poetry is innocent and not dependent on anything else, just the emotions that well up in the heart of the poet, that is indeed the pure poetry. And when you meet it, yes, you bow before it. Well done.
Great comment, Roland. And Roland, how about you?
Two lines really captured me. And she collects them in the quiver of her soul with pillows stuffed with holy down. Isn't it remarkable, some of the lines that we as poets can bring forth? Just beautiful. The forlornness that's so well inscribed in this is strong and deliberate. This poem carries feeling that's very well placed and well managed, and captures the essence of her with quite a remarkableness. The poem is very dependable. I am further and further in praise. Yeah, this poem, parts of it won't let you go. It's just beautiful. Very, very well done. Very well writ.
Comment, Roland. And Pam, how about you, hon?
Oh, I really liked this one all the way through. It's just beautiful with its imagery. I have to say, I too was drawn to that part that Roland mentioned about how she collects them in the quiver of her soul. This poem has such a reality to it, and yet at the same time, there's kind of a sense of mythology. Like, I couldn't help but think of Diana, the goddess of the hunt, when I read those lines, and how we oftentimes go looking for perfect words. And I also really like, and we find rest and peace for Ken. It is a child of trust and instilled instinct coupled with free will. I like that idea, the idea of our pen, our ink being an extension of ourselves. So beautifully written and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Ben. Okay, now, Laurent, I have a question up for you.
And this is by Lost Harif. I'm not exactly sure about that pronunciation, so forgive me. So whenever you're ready.
I'm sorry, what was the title of the poem?
I Do Not Fear the Gentle Art of Sorrow by Lost Harif.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I do not fear the gentle art of sorrow. Lonely trace an echo inside a longing bruise. And the past, well, it holds our fragile secrets in soft shades of surrender, locked behind a veil with our once and glowing promise that will fade into darkness like a stone. So here's to all once maidens that have gone their time before us, the ones that stepped with dew from oceans at the beck of those pulling like the tide, to know the gentle grace of her hair that blows across the drifting of our minds. Perhaps one day we'll find tomorrow, and it might be on a Wednesday in some shadowed doorway down an unknown quiet street, filled with faceless children's laughter. And we'll be reminded of the girl who fed on flowers with strands of glowing glitter, reflecting all the wonder we still yearn. And from glades of wild abandon, she'll shoot sibilance in a fragrance that will wend her words forever in our hearts. Then our passion and drive will teach fatigue what's beyond desire, and reverence will honor what's gone. And what are empty spaces but the sting of wasping memories where those thoughts of then flicker, while our want becomes marrow, and the once we knew dares never speak through tears. For the cull of grace and the bones of branches void of leaf will embrace the shadow of her dew. And we will hear her five-string frailing strum. And it will guide us to new wonders down the lonely streets we'll wander while our memories hang like Tuesday's cobwebs in the corner. And our leather-worn footsteps will be the only solace left, and they will carry us forever, the fainter we become. End poem.
Great reading, Ron. Very nicely done. Rowan, do you want to start us off on this one?
This poem, I bookmarked. I rarely bookmark poems. In the 13 years I've been here, probably have less than 100. I was just enthralled. The way it is written is just a great encounter. The painted language, the attention to detail, the flow, the pace, the heartbreaking sensuality in it, it's pretty disarming. The deep crevices it took me into, certain emotions with the penetrable relationship of a poem that's filled not only with gratitude, but of complexity and deep, deep, deep transcendence. I just really love a great poetry, and this was fantastic. Well read. Golden in my eyes.
Great comment, Lauren. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, it's funny because I automatically did the same thing. I put this poem on one of my lists and then realized like six other people had. But obviously, it's a poem worth marking because it's a poem worth reading over and over again because it's not just a tribute to banjo, which it is, but it's the kind of write that you can bring out anytime you're grieving. It's filled with heart, it's filled with words of wisdom. Even the title, I Do Not Fear the Gentle Art of Sorrow. We shouldn't fear grieving. We shouldn't fear the grieving process. It's part of being human. You know, I thought this had just a very emotive write that shows us wisdom on the process of grief and also shows us that we can take comfort in the memory of someone. So wonderful write and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Pam. And Eden Bray, how about you?
Yeah, a really, really beautifully read, by the way, this piece. I would say, and most of these, the poems that we're reading tonight, just strike a chord, really, of the deep respect and feeling that this poet has evoked in the poet community, because I feel all of these rites, and especially this one, people are writing at their very highest level, and this is just a remarkably great piece of writing, really well constructed, some beautiful lines and emotions, imagery. Really fine piece of work, and as Pam mentioned, it doesn't necessarily have to be read in conjunction with our respect for the poet, because it's a piece of pure poetry, and I think that is the highest respect you can show to another poet. The poet community, has this deep respect for one another, and in the loss of one, that's how the poet community responds, by presenting pieces of work of this nature. It's a really fine work and very well read.
Nice comment. Very, very nice comment. Okay, the next poem I'm going to put up is by Arendt, and it's called Bang Bang Goes the Heart and Blew the Smoke Like a BAMF. So I have an audio for this. Here we go.
Bang bang goes the heart, and you blew the smoke like a badass motherfucker. By Arendt. Love. What an eternity loaded topic. And you took it. Cliche, maudlin, ticking bomb that it is. You embraced it. Let it detonate all over the page loud, in silent steps of space. Artfully negative. Heartbreaking. And I gasped after holding my breath. Because somehow, all the blood was new. Beautiful. Like a banjo and a blowtorch on an autopsy table. It's a scary thing. Hearts going ba-bump in the night. But you'd always spill your guts in a cotillion fire. Warm, tender and gory. The roses are red for real in your poems. And maybe I don't have the right to speak from within my blast suit about how you took love apart. Agonizing over which wire to cut, when they're all red and they all lead back to the heart. They may have taken the desk, the chair and the thesaurus, even the fucking writer. But the words they'll always hold your music. And yes, banjo, I'll sing along. End poem.
Amazing. Okay. Well, I don't remember where I started off last time. Laurent, you want to start us off on this one?
Sorry, was that me?
Actually, I said Laurent.
I beg your pardon. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, with pleasure. A couple of things that I can say about tonight and this particular poem is that the excellence is all over the place tonight. The writing is first class, and like everyone else, this poem lays an open heart on the page. and it speaks from what's deepest. I would quote, "It's a scary thing, heart's going ba-bump in the night, but you'd always spill your guts in a battalion of fire, warm, tender, and gory. The roses are red for real in your poems." There is a reality in her writing that is completely admired. And the next stanza, which speaks about taking love apart, I thought was very eclectic, very well done, as was this particular poem. Nice job, Lorenz.
Great comment, Laurent. And Roland, how about you?
Well, it's extremely rare, and I've never done it before, but I also bookmarked this poem. I have to agree, the level and caliber of some of these are the most outstanding level that I've seen on all poetry. There's some great poets that stepped out to honor her and give her tribute in this poem. Certainly with its rawness, its fresh approach, very well laid out, just amazing. I have to compliment Lorenz. This poem is to be read and reread and reread. It will survive the ages, undoubtedly. Extremely well written.
Awesome comment. Edenbrae, how about you?
Yeah, I concur with the thoughts already shared. This beautiful writing, I must say, ever so well read as well on the piece.
Agreed,
I find it really hard to read my own poetry well, but Lorenz has done extremely well. The way she read it so concentrated and of a sound voice, beautiful. Pick out a verse, the verse that's already been mentioned, and maybe I don't have the right to speak from within my blast suit about how you took love apart, agonizing over which wire to cut when they're all red and they all lead back to the heart. Beautiful, strong, very Vangeline style writing. She's obviously been influenced by the poet and reflected so beautifully in these some really great lines. Lovely write, beautifully wet, beautifully read.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Okay, Roland, I'm going to put the next piece up. If you'd be so kind as to read it for us, I'd appreciate it. And it's by you, Roland.
Thank you. I'm honored. Title, "It Sucks, You're Stuck in the Wilderness of No Tomorrows and Martyrs." You, who married early light, daring us to see what we could not see, laughing at gods, scoffing at odds, rolling dice with death, always amused by poets of prose, along with yesterday's broken rhymes, alongside beggars' devotion, who thought the ocean would bring more time, down from mountains, counting destinies, seeking miracles, dreaming old forest singing stars, sowing their seeds mixed with prairie waters. You, who had challenged the apocalypse with blood and gold, watching messiahs raise their swords. You, who knew beyond the hinge gate, the potter's wheel, the brood of people, miracles in hills, tributaries pouring patterns into colors down the river of time, beyond the muzzles, beyond all hazards. You always walked with us in the curve of the matrix, streaming strides and hysterical smiles, everyone trying to mimic Keats, Bukowski, Plath, Kerouac, prescribing nouns nobody uses, fingers as fish bones, choking easily on wow. What a genius, rambling in verbs, encouraging our muses to jump off a bridge. Or maybe it's better to write about the moon, putting it into every poem, telling us how life's unbearable, wanting to say things the poet remember, like day-old inspiration stacked in a pile, where alliterations thrive in pretentious shit. Like rancid pork in a beat-up trash can, maggot-infested, asking, have you smelled a dead person lately? Up yours, up yours, up yours. That's all we heard when your death blinked at us. And the cursor repeated, nothing left to write except free versus my own life preserver. Now, staring at the screen, kneeling at our desk, using sad fingerprints to scratch out a poem, screaming out loud, Banjo was here! Smeared by every serif letter, wanting to know, sucks, you're stuck in the wilderness of no tomorrows and martyrs. End poem.
Excellent piece, Roland. Absolutely, and a great read. Pam, you want to start us off?
Yeah, this is definitely a brilliant write. You know, it's, first of all, a heartfelt tribute. And what I like about this is it's one of those poems that perfectly balances a serious message of how much you'll miss somebody and other messages, along with just a sense of humor that I have no doubt Evangeline would very much appreciate. You know, I loved how you read this with such great pause, pitch, and punch within the read. And I like how, to me, that the main message I get on this is not only that it's a tribute to Banjo and her own unique style, but also how until it's too late, we don't realize, you know, the days pass by, opportunities pass us by. I really like the part about tributaries going into the river, because I feel like that's the idea of, you know, like how we inspire each other. I also really like how you mentioned the part about how people are always trying to imitate, to mimic. You know, everyone trying to mimic Keats, Bukowski, Plath, Kerouac, describing nouns nobody uses, fingers as fish bones, choking easily on wow, what a genius, rambling in verbs. You know, too often times we kind of just become almost like the Star Wars clones, the stormtroopers of poetry, rather than standing out and being our own unique selves. And Banjo, she never failed to do that. And I think you have that same gift, Roland. You stand out as being your own unique self. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you kindly.
Great comment, Pam. Eden Bray, how about you?
Yeah. Again, I love the way it was read. It really explains the poem so well. Much of what Pam was saying there, I reciprocate. Just the overall feeling of the poet and the poetry and what it means, the significance, and yes, with people want to, this situation has made people want to write well, and again, just another example in a different style of someone expressing some really great thoughts on the poet. I'm a bit stuck for words on this. It's really, really nice write, and very, very over, very goes in many different directions, carries you along, so it's a very nice piece. That's all I can say.
Thank you, Julie.
And Gray, how about you?
You know, you can feel the feels in this poem, and your read as well. You can feel how much you really admired and adored her, and you know how much it sucks that she's stuck in the wilderness with no tomorrows and martyrs. You know, because she left way too soon, and she had a lot more to give the world, I'm certain. and she will be missed. So there's a woman named Bandolin, a poet named Bandolin.
Hmm.
Excellent comment. And Laurent, last but not least.
Sorry, I had to get off mute. The language in this is typical Roland-ish. It's heady. It's precise. It's wild. It's thoughtful and provoking. It's sardonic sometimes. And his phrasing is enviable. Some of the stanzas in here, like, you who would challenge the apocalypse with blood and gold, watching messiahs raise their swords, is a real insight into Bandolin's mind, because I can see her standing there defiant and, of all things, challenging the apocalypse. You always walked with us in the curve of the matrix is another line that I really, really enjoy. And then you take off with, like, day-old inspiration stacked in a pile where literations thrive in pretentious shit like rancid pork in a beat-up trash can, maggot-infested. God, you write well. This is a hell of a poem. Thank you for sharing.
I wasn't sure how folks would take that one line, "Have you smelled a dead person lately?" I was trying to bring her subtle humor. I hope I did that, because it was not meant.
Oh, definitely. I would say
battling.
So.
Okay.
Yes. And wonderful comment there, Lawrence. And up next, Eden Bray, we have your poem. So go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Okay. Thank you. Bandolin and Partners. I did not know, did not care, searching for a glass in which to put my whiskey. Time to glance within the mirror. But who alone did I see? If it wasn't you, and it isn't me. That same ghost, a grey, naked fish swimming through my eyes. His beard long, her eyes stunning pure, burning like methylene, hazed in light of a cigarillo lighter. He stubs black cheroots out upon his hallowed flesh, scabbed, pitted, liver spots and onion breath. He eats everything with onions, hard-boiled, hashed, or raw. Asian spices, the cardamom to the coriander. Dances in the evening with black mamba. Who has the biggest breasts? Her stretched flesh persuades it will get better. In this sweetest copulation, there is no insemination. Only nights bathed, insecure. Banjo walks the back streets of time. The signals that she wore defined her lyrical persuasion. Exits from her verse, a flame extinguished. Her memory glows from poets' posts. There is a wider consideration. As if what we do is of no literal meaning, of thought, or might, or valor. Then all die to swim their tigris, the effluent of time, in the back streets. I found my glass, drank it down. I stopped swimming in the river. I found my home, my arrows, my quiver.
Hi. Wonderful read and write there, Eden Bray. Thank you so much. I'm glad you were inspired. And Roland, let's start with your thoughts.
Friend, this is a wonderful poem, the language, and the subtle intensity about it makes it particularly unique, very creative, excellent solid word choices, has a very strong heartbeat. You read it extremely well. I'm the same way. I'm not sure about when I read my poetry, but you did a fantastic job. The inclinations breathe. There is a certain wave of enthusiasm as the poem delivers. I can only read and marvel at the brilliance of this work. It does touch upon near genius. I believe genius is overrated, but this is about as close as you might get as a poet. Absolutely amazing, right? I am stunned by your talent so much that I need to go read your poetry. I need to get out more often and read from some of these amazing poets that have brought their words, dazzling, sometimes electrifying, some lines of with pure shock treatment. This is a wonderful ode to Banjo Lynn. I can only nod in satisfactory agreement. An excellent poem.
Thank
great
you so
elements.
Much.
Great elements throughout. I compliment you. Fine poetry is always a pleasure to read or hear.
Thank you, sir.
Welcome.
Absolutely. Him?
Oh, I just heard your voice, so I figured you were going to leave comments. My apologies.
I wasn't going to. That's okay.
And Gray, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, you did a beautiful job reading that, Eden Bray. But, you know, like, I'll just read my comment here. I said, the magic of your pen has steeped and magnified its intention, a powerful tribute poem.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, Gray. I couldn't. I apologize if your comment was done. I didn't quite catch it, but I have no doubt it was a good comment.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, because your comment was done.
Yeah.
And Lawrence, your thoughts?
Well, Eden Bray, I got to say, I have not read much of your poetry. I can see I'm going to have to because this is so well done. In this sweetest copulation, there is no insemination, only nights bathed insecure. Banjo walks the back streets of time. In the closest moment of all, there's nothing of any importance. Simply companionship, bathed insecure, as the poet says. I like the way that you take her memory and enhance it. Her memory glows from poets' posts. There's a wider consideration, as if what we do is of no literal meaning. But of course, there is a meaning to it, and it is very literal. And the struggle that we all share, or thought, or might, or valor, then all die to swim their tigris, the effluent of time, in the back streets. That was very well phrased. And your last lines are I think, right to the point. But they keep bringing me back to the first stanza. I did not know, did not care, searching for a glass in which to put my whiskey. And, you know, right off the bat, we don't know what you don't know or don't care about. Kind of leave it up to the reader to figure it out. And it's very much about discovery. As you say, time to glance within the mirror. And then, you know, what do you see? And then the description, that same ghost, the gray naked fish, and everything that follows, really, really well written. Enjoyed it thoroughly.
Thank you so much.
Great comment, Lauren. Okay, Irene, are you back with us?
I am. I just didn't know where to pick up. I didn't know who had commented, so that's why I'd rather put it out.
Yeah,
okay.
The
next piece that I have up is, Lauren, this is for you, if you don't mind, and whenever you're ready.
Okay. This particular poem was written for one of Bandolin's contests. Today there will be wildflowers winning back my feet. And it's called I've Almost Forgotten Your Face. Somewhere down near Fresno way, I think, full moon on a cold desert, ribbon of black cresting shifting horizons, carrying me a long-winded flyer from regret, clothed in a purple haze at volume. Awareness explodes, late-night epiphany locks up tires, swerving to roadside, stopping for a long breath and a sweat on a bleak night. Truck door slams, never too loud for a desolation without echoes. One footstep, another. I can hear the skin of the San Joaquin crackle as I walk into moonlight to stand proudly, maybe abjectly, alone beneath big sky. Mojave days linger happily, at least for me. You were both windswept and still, an open flower among buds. Chameleons so artful, I saw you in everything, everywhere, clothed in colors of earth and sky. Till that day when morning bore its burdens heavily, pallid light leaking solitude onto single sheets. It hasn't shone brightly since, but the moon seems ambitious and the stars friendly enough. Yet, scotch whiskey, never strong enough, regardless of the in-betweens. I'm desperate to remember desert wildflowers, afraid to remember I've almost forgotten your face. End poem.
Great reading, Lauren. Lauren, do you want to start us off? Oh.
Read.
Yeah,
great read, Lauren. Much applause. I love how this ended. Afraid to remember, I've almost forgotten your face. I also love the preceding couplet. I'm desperate to remember desert wildflowers. This poem placed me there. It's camera-ready imagery with particularly locked-up tires swerving to the roadside, stopping for a long breath and a sweat on a bleak night. Truck door slams, never too loud for a desolation without echoes. The poem takes you there, and it does it rather readily and easily. I love the desert. I love the desert at night. I love the desert during the day. And there's a certain aloneness, quietness, but it's very soothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very spiritualistic, in fact, whether it be the heat of the day or the cool night air, because it does get cold in the desert. Your language is expelled, and the poem continues to beg what's more, what's next. You leave us with extremely powerful, fresh phrases, and the dynamics in it create such a wonderful poem. I love the portrayals. I love the vibe of the poem. And I'm stunned by the amazing write and your talent. Job well done. Purely enjoyable, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. And I've got to say thanks to Gene for the general editing and positioning the ending line. I've discovered over time that a lot of my better poems were with Gene's help. Thank you, Gene.
Yeah, it's those pauses in between that create the sense and the vibe. Good job, both of you.
Thanks. Okay, Edenbrae, how about you? You want to comment on this piece?
Yeah, I would yeah, this I would say, I would call this a poet's poem. This is really caught my imagination. Lovely reading, by the way, and some really lovely lines in this. I'm just looking through them again here now. One particular, so many really. Mahav days linger happily, at least for me. You were both windswept and still, an open flower among buds, chameleon so artful. I saw you in everything, everywhere, clothed in colors of earth and sky. And I mean, you could look at any of the stanzas, the lines, beautiful writing. Just bravo, I would say, to this, and very enjoyable read. I love the adjacentness of it. It's separate. It's kind of out there, which, of course, the desert is out there in our thinking, and the words match the theme. Good, beautiful writing.
Thank you.
And Gray, how about you?
Yeah, you did a wonderful read on that, Lauren. But, you know, I like the poem. I like the natural aspect of it, you know. I mean, you can picture all this as you describe it. Somewhere down near Fresno Way, I think, full moon on a cold desert, ribbon of black cresting shifting horizons, carrying me, a long-winded flyer from regret, clothed in purple haze at volume. I mean, that's just impactful and, you know, really pulls you in. And I just thought, you know, the journey that this poem took me on, along with your haunting emotions, was inspirational. So beautiful job.
Thanks, Greg.
You bet.
Nice comment. Wonderful poem, Laurent. You know, I liked it the first time, so it doesn't get any worse, that's for sure. Wonderful take on Dan Jolin's piece. It's kind of haunting. Okay, Gray, I have the next piece for you, if you don't mind. This is called Mandy, Remember Your Darlings by Vincent. And it's up now.
Sure. Mandy.
Thank you.
Remember Your Darlings by Vincent. Hindsight or not, profile, young in her person, such stripes, such lovely, perfect stripes. Ghost could take her from it. Her wish for recognition, nothing more. How I identified, live with its elusiveness, admiration, spirit in earnest, shadow or naivety, admonishment unapologetic, green eyes pierce their gaze down, their taste of flowers, if only they said anything, just once. Unknown, cascading ribbons of light everywhere, all around. Being, woman, silent as mornings, impermanence, eternity with its black horrors, turns the hourglass. Dark rains, dark roads, turn the hourglass, my friend. Swinging in the backyard, turn the hourglass. One last time, it's true, my darling, it's true. Turn to me, then turn away. Turn, turn, turn. End poem.
Great read, Greg. Great read. And Laurent, you want to start us off on this one?
Yes, ma'am. The beginning, hindsight or not, you know, do we look backwards? Do we look forward? And he describes her profile, young in her prison. Such stripes, such lovely, perfect stripes. Ghosts could take her from it. Her wish for recognition, nothing more. And I think everybody wants to be recognized in one way or another. And yet she was perhaps a little elusive. He admires her spirit. And whether it's shadow or naivete, she is unapologetic. and will admonish you. And he begins to give us insights into her character. Woman, silent as morning's impermanence, eternity with its blank horrors, begins to talk about the loss, the death. Turn the hourglass, my friend, swinging in the backyard. Turn the hourglass one last time. It's a very moving piece, well written, and I thought it was a lovely tribute.
Nice comment, Lauren. And Roland, how about you?
I'm sorry, I had to step away. So I just got back like a minute ago, so I did not catch the read.
Okay, no problem. Eden Gray, how about you?
Yeah, I really think the format of this piece works, especially with the deliverance almost fragmented thoughts, precise thoughts, almost describing the feeling. It creates a feeling of mourning and loss, and this connection, which kind of helps the lines, gives them extra permanence and depth, because each of the short lines are packed with significance. So I really feel that in this piece that works so well, and it builds a really thoughtful tribute. A beautiful title as well. I love the title. Yeah, very nice piece. Again, once again, a poet showing his respect and recognition for another poet with some very fine writing.
Absolutely. Great comment, Ingrid. Pam, are you back? Well, Gray, that brings me to you.
I am back.
Oh, you're back. There we go. Okay. Would you like to comment on that piece?
Oh,
did you happen?
I apologize. I'm not that much back. No.
Okay. Okay. No problem. Gray, would you like to comment?
Sure. You know, I thought it was very artful in its presentation. You know, I like the couplet stanzas and, you know, the single word of woman and then the single lines. I really enjoyed the impermanence, eternity with its blank horror. Turns the hourglass, dark rains, dark roads, turn the hourglass, my friend. Blinging in the backyard, turn the hourglass. One last time, it's true, my darling, it's true. Turn to me, then turn away. Turn, turn, turn. You know, just a haunting poem.
Mm-hmm. Great comment, Greg. Great comment. Okay, and the next piece I have is by Bev Smith, and I have an audio for this one. So let me get that started. Here we go.
An auger will root left to ground long enough. The front fields I plant in sunflowers, beacons to call sun rays home. Their numbers in their tower, their big eyes like gods on pikes. A winter's feed peck for birds, seed heads sway. Dried stalks so I can hear you come closer, cursing the weeds between my toes. The flat of the tractor tire and the bush hog blades you knew should have been sharpened before cancer's extended stay in your brain. I allow the yard to go to seed, and I sit here, beached among its grass sea. Silver head caps catch the breeze and chime, like the corn does pulled late from row. My empty cupboards, another find. My stock in peanut butter. The apples, the peaches of trees unwillingly planted in the side yard. You refused to call an orchard even once. The front lawn, another story kept like a sacred book, glassed in pristine pages and leather bindings. I respectfully replace its missing teeth. That is, when I go there to carp more bone, dutifully, as you would.
What a great poem. Okay, Edenbray, you want to start us off on this one?
Yeah, a very spiritual riot, I would say, very thoughtful and descriptive riot, very poetic, some lovely words again. I seem to be repeating myself a bit tonight, and I apologize for that, but that's the impression I'm getting from so many of these pieces, that the feeling is, it seems more important than the words, in a sense, but people are finding such fine words, and that my empty cupboards, another find, my stock in peanut butter, the apples, the peaches, trees unwilling planted in the side yard, you refused to call an orchard even once. Lovely describe the poet describes their emotions, their feelings so well. That's all I have to say on that one. It's lovely, right?
Nice comment, Gray. Gray, how about you?
Yeah, you know, I love to read, and the poem was fantastic. I really love the storyline of it. You can picture all this as she reads it. The front fields I plant in sunflowers, beacons to call, sun rays home. You know, you can just picture that field of sunflower in her front yard, and then, you know, where she goes to the flat tire of the tractor, the flat tractor tire and bush hog blades you knew should have been sharpened before cancer extended stay in your brain. And, you know, so right there you're engaged with what's happening here. And, you know, she just speaks to the mundane daily business of life. And but I really liked the side yard in the front yard, and the empty cupboards find my stock in peanut butter, the apples and peaches of trees unwillingly planted in the side yard. You refused to call an orchard even once, yet yet it's stalking your cupboards. So I really loved it. It was well done. Beautiful crafting. Very artistic.
Wonderful. Great comment, Greg. And Laurent, how about you?
An auger will root left the ground long enough. I thought it was a fascinating title. Bev writes gentle poetry to me. I allow the yard to go to seed, and I sit here beached among its seagrass. I love the imagery, and I love the tone of the piece. She takes common items, the bush hog, the weeds, the peanut butter, the apples, the peaches, and she really puts them front and center. Almost as if the things are what's real, and other things are not necessarily what we think they are. Wonderfully done.
Great comment, Lauren. And last but not least, Roland, how about you?
Thank you. The poem definitely reflects a deep engagement with the natural world. I agree with Laurent on that fact for sure. The quick, what I call snippets, the way that she just
separates everything, the apples, the peaches, the front lawn, the front fields. I plant in sunflowers, the flat of the tractor tire. Each of these brings such concise and clean imagery, then intermixed with tonality to make this storyline flow so that we can follow it rather easily. Sliver head caps catch the breeze and chime, like the corn does pull late from row. Those types of phrases certainly add value. It's such a wonderfully created poem. I compliment Bev. I love how she breathes with hopeful observance, the embodiment of the visuals. I'm struggling a little here, but trying to just do my best at saying that the effect of these snippets is quite respectable and beyond just satisfactory. They are really, really well placed and caught thinking and taking me to each little, you know, the apple. I went off on apples and the next one. Just really great tonality and imagery throughout. The poem breathes great sentiments and all its capability. It has a very strong heartbeat. Great creative strokes. Very well done.
Nice comment.
I agree with all of you. I mean, it was a wonderful poem. Wonderful imagery throughout. And Greg, you're right. It was a picture very well painted. But it had both feet on the floor, and I think that's what I liked about it. It was that kind of poetry. It was real. It was very, very relatable. So great job, Beth. Okay, next piece I'm going to put up is by Titus Lowell, and it's called Earth Angels, Banjo Lin, Angel of the Lost Dialect. So let me put that one. There we go.
Earth Angels, Banjo Lin, Angel of the Lost Dialect. Bathed in your words, you serve a lost dialect. You ask us not to disturb. Acrolith, you say nice things are best not said. Found beyond a claustra, numerous souls share the grey matter so relatively so. They may remain jostling for position, like words. So precious beginnings do lead a swarage. Obloque, no disgrace sharing words, our knowing yours no one can undo. Leaves you to live another day. How it will impact, all eyes will enthrall. Learning indifference that opposites attract. Fear of loss it does convey. Nebulous thoughts have cleared on the other side, never odd or even. Ought never a foot too far, as the misgivings of an event and distentra. Note how bleeding hearts do confirm much a worthy praise. In addition, given on behalf, to carry through my heart's customs, I see reflecting enigmatic words will soon grant death's mysterious objective not to be. Lost futurity cast upon the present time to come, this is her holy grail. Origin unknown, she is throwing words at white space, whilst incognito, failures find in passing the smile that is supposed upon whose sender. There you will find such words, given that we palindromes must return halfway between the sky falling and the way your eyes take flight. Wish eternal light hereafter, my sempiternal friend, the sweetest words we live. Listen. Suffering lost dialects have lingered long, yet their hopes prevail. Orators achieve on earth the same embrace. Emancipate this rain unto sentimental feeling with the stars. Below the sea, the balmy air it frees. This soul allegiant with its faith questioned anticipates the longer wait. Difference between choosing death and choosing love. Is undecided. igniting our soul passions, there is part of us which goes back to a literati. Aberrant charms are we whose wholesome love was felt by your inertia. Lament perhaps exceeds in passing on dialect. It speaks of your arrival. Exuant, it plays its part. Neither of us is patient enough for God's love. Compliments are your soul well-being, words. Among us, you are music. The calm of Aries displays lovelorn effects. The glimmer Lyra's harp besots. Your words are priceless.
What a wonderful, a beautiful tribute. Pam, it brings me to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, this is a beautiful, heartfelt tribute. I like his choice of background music, along with the classical feeling language that gives it a really beautiful depth of emotion. I particularly like the part, Origin Unknown, she is throwing words at white space whilst incognito failures find in passing the smile that is supposed upon whose send-off. Man, I stumbled over that, but even though I stumbled over it, it still was beautifully written in the idea of a nod of a send-off. I also like that last part with the sentence, the part, difference between choosing death and choosing love is it is undecided, igniting our soul's passion, whereas part of us, which goes back to a literati. You know, beautiful lines and very well done.
Okay. Well, thank you, Pam, for that. Eden Bray, how about you?
Yeah, deep respect for the poet's vocabulary and use of words, wordsmithing, produced a very, very exquisite piece of tribute, piece of poetry. Mythological, mystical. It obviously comes from the heart, and it's delivered very professionally. On the soundbite, and a very well presented on the piece, a nice illustration, just a really nice flowing tribute to the poet.
Nice comment, Edinburgh. And Laurent, how about you?
Titus's Earth Angel series is a remarkable body of work. It demonstrates his facility with language. I think Eden Bray used the word wordsmithing, and he is an artist with words. When I read his stuff, more than any other poet, I run into words I do not know. The man has a vocabulary that is absolutely stunning. And when you can pull words out of thin air that are rarely used but absolutely precise as to their meaning and fit the overall tone, you just have to admire it. I thought it was a wonderful piece, just like his other Earth Angel series.
Absolutely. I have to agree with that. Roland, I did not start with you, right? I started with Sam.
Yes.
If you would give us a comment, that would be great.
Listen, suffering lost dialects have lingered long, yet their hopes prevail. He has always been, to me, the other romantic, classical, old soul type poet. Has a sense of, I don't know if it's Shakespearean, but certainly the distinctive advantage that he has, again, with his wordsmithing, as other poets have recognized as well. Choice of words. The poem is complex, and I don't think
here tonight would give complete justice to what I want to say. It would take too long. I'll put that in writing to him. His skillful dexterity is so pronounced. He ushers in such great language. The tendency is so visceral and so indivisible of excellence, gorgeously artful, beautiful thoughts throughout. There is no doubt this poem is of high caliber. The fact that it was done in this format as a tribute to her, he put time and energy into this. It's not pedestrian. Great generosity of spirit. There's no doubt this poem excels. Well done, my friend Titus.
Excellent comments, everybody. Okay, I have time, I think, for maybe one more, unless everybody's willing to give me extra time, because I have a lot of poems left. A lot. The next piece I put up is by M.K. Rock, Ache to Find and Drifts of Relief. I have a, an audio for this, so let me hit the button.
Ink to Find and Drifts of Relief by M.K. Rock. Maples revel in October's showy flame, till rain's silvering limbs snap branch connections. Poets weather, raw spills on prime soil, blue-gray precious somber shares, tapping a vein exhausted pulse, tolls too steep. Your verve bandaged broken lines, rung of muse pulp. Audience macabre, we perch for raked wounds freshly explored. Pain storm doors slam on autumn's torrid hues, cued by loss and love deluge heaved. Ache articulations, score scraped. Resin verses, fractured depths, swept through us in the reed. Bits sticking to long bones, framework brambles uncloak. Naked overlays proffered. Indigo morning sacrifice. My coffee resisting swallow. Lump stark gluts of sorrow. Script toes staining day. Tears chase stone paved stream beds. Swollen with farewell and artistic respect. Cardiac grip. Held in her pen. Flesh whittled release, word by word, beat for beat, till fingertips set final pages aside. Crimson hammering gold, leaf tossed tribute, star points, sailing echoed currents, vellum vessels of a poet's weather. This was penned in loving respect with a sense of pained disbelief for an amazing poet, Banjo Lin. Peace.
Excellent audio, Mindy. Thanks for sharing that with us. And Roland, I think I'll have you start us off tonight on this one.
Yeah, this poem made me ache in such a, it's just amazing. When the poet can do that, to have that kind of emotion evoked from another, it's just a tremendous feeling. Every line, and she read it well, which added to the ache, I think we'd all agree, rich in its heartbreaking, seamless in its effort. The energy was poised in such patient language. She gave great attention to understanding the direction of her poem, and it remained constant throughout the entirety of the poem. Sometimes we write and we lose that vibe, that energy, but hers is a song of a lark singing in the night, wanting to find its home, that home being Banjo Lynn. The poem served well with its rich detail. I compliment MK. Great poem, great emotions, a great relationship that you shared with your words and brought forth her memory with such love and yet with such pain. I compliment you deeply. Well done.
It was a great comment there, Lauren. Laurent, how about you?
This is expertly written and highly emotive tribute to Banjo Lynn. When you can tell that when a poet's words spill onto the page, almost like blood, you just know this came from someplace inside, deep inside. To pluck any particular stanza and call it the best is not going to work in this particular case, because as a whole, it's almost impossible to separate things out. But I really did like these two stanzas, among others. Indigo morning sacrifice, my coffee resisting swallow, lump stark slush of charro, script toes staining day, tears chase stone paved stream beds, sown with farewell and artistic respect, cardiac grip held in her head. MK always brings it, and she brought it tonight.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Very true, very true. And let me see. Edinburgh? I keep saying Edinburgh. Edinburgh, please.
Yeah.
Don't mind.
I don't mind what you call me. It's okay. extremely personal and powerfully poetic and bone-scrapingly beautiful. And I love the each line. You could almost lay in a different order. That each line is so defined and complete. You could almost line them up in different order. A beautiful write, and a very, very heart-rending piece. Heart-rending, terribly sad, and yet respectful. Very respectful. And again, I would agree, very consistent in the delivery, just consistent throughout, from start to finish.
No.
Very professional, but very personal, right?
Right. Yeah, I do have to ask: is anyone able to stay for a while, so we can put in some more poetry and read and comment?
I don't think I will be able to, actually, because it's 5 o'clock in the morning here, and I'll really be able to get some sleep in. But I've enjoyed my time here very much, and working with alongside some great contributors. I've enjoyed very much.
I appreciate you calling in and staying with us all night, Eden Bray. Absolutely. And you're welcome to join us anytime.
Okay. I'm sure I will. Yeah. Thank you very much, Ray. Thank you for making me welcome. Thank you. Okay.
Beautiful night. Take care.
Yeah, good night.
Good night.
Okay. Cheerio.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll just plug it in so everybody drops off the line. I have this one here by Together Forever. I guess that was I have an audio book. So.
Which poem is this, please?
Yes.
This is Together Forever.
I guess that was Goodbye, a poem by Wendy Langdon in honor of Banjolin. I would say it was selfish of you to leave the way you did, but I won't, because no one knew the pain that led to you finally cross dying off of your bucket list. Is it selfish of me to wish you would have stayed? I didn't really know you. I just admired your poetic talent and wit from afar as I watched you undress your soul like an exhibitionist with admiring voyeur. Brilliant metaphors and witty interjections mixed with gritty realism, your poetry was worth waking up to read. Although we all wish you would have stayed, it wasn't our choice. It was yours. And selfish or not, you made it. End of poem.
Nice audio. Let's see now. Bam, do you want to start us off on this one?
Absolutely. This one was wonderful. I really like how in this contest, in this show, we've had so many different voices and perspectives of people who've known her real well, people who just admired her poetry, you know, even people who really didn't know her or her poetry that well, but are offering up sympathy and condolences. You know, I like the raw honesty of this one. You know, the line, pushing the lines, the question, is it selfish of me to wish you would have stayed? I didn't really know you. I just admired your poetic talent and wit from afar as I watched you undress your soul like an exhibitionist with an admiring voyeur. Just wonderfully strong lines and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. And Gray, how about you?
I thought her SoundCloud was fantastic. She did a wonderful read on her poem. But, you know, the poem was heartfelt. It was soulful. It was endearing and engaging. It really carried you with her, you know, as she awoke to read her poetry. And, you know, I really admire the last stanza as well. Although we all wish you could have stayed, it wasn't our choice. It was yours. And selfish or not, you made it. So, yeah, this leaves you breathless at the end.
It does. Absolutely. And Laurent, how about you?
Well, every now and then you read a line that absolutely stops you. And the one that stopped me in this was the crossing dying off your bucket list. I had to reread that three times. That was really something special. This also touches on the idea that suicide can be selfish. And I can't call it selfish. How can anybody call it selfish? Then the living are more important than the dead. Is that it? I don't think so. I think she did what she had to do. There's really no rational reason that we can come up with to explain what she did other than the content of her sorrow, which is extreme. And that's not selfish. That's survival.
Okay. Great comment. Roland, how about you?
Yes. The voice is clear and distinct about a great and deep respect for Banjo. She was certainly the author of the poem. Moved by Banjolin's words, she holds her in great esteem. I like the intimacy of the vibe. It's extremely earnest.
Mm-hmm.
It's not complex. I like how her voice at times seems to whisper to us about remembering Banjolin. Nice pace. Effective, very strong in its intent and deliberation. Again, out of that deep respect for Banjolin. a great read. She did well. And I appreciated the poem in its entirety. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Rowan, very much. Pam, can I ask you to read the next one for us, please? This is by Uma71.
I would be happy to. All right. This is To Be a Poem Penned by Banjolin by Uma71. It's as if the poem knew its last line, but strived for an opening, a dive into a flooded cave, seeking deepest breath of silence as the oxygen ran out from the pen, its ink-full heart, feeling own pulse ebbing, as if the poem knew this poet well, as exasperated enthusiast, losing sleep over tiniest shells of similes, and the bloodiest wounds of love that felt like last kisses before its lips would seal into finality. It's as if the poem itself was love perceived and arranged from sensual to sublimation, finally meeting its match in words, even as the poet strained for a rarest of rare solidity and poem.
Great read, Pam. Great read. Okay, Gray, do you want to start off on this one?
Sure. Beautiful read, Pam. And I like the poem. You know, it really has the essence of Banjo's attitude and, you know, forthright nature, especially with the title, To Be a Poem Penned by Banjolin. You know, you just, you're put through every realm of existence and every emotion, and you're really put through the grinder, so to speak. And, you know, at the end, finally meeting its match in words, even as the poet strained for a rarest of rare subtlety. Just a beautiful pen.
Nice comment, Gray. And Roland, how about you?
Sure. The opening draws us in. It's as if the poem knew its last line but strived for an opening. I like that. And particularly this one as well. The bloodiest wounds of love that felt like last kisses before its lips would seal into finality. Just beautiful. I really appreciate that someone's passing can evoke these types of thoughts from others and put them into words in such a realistic way. And the way that they do it and have done so throughout all these poems at times is just simply heart-wrenching, as these poems, and this one inclusive, stands fully realized in of itself, that emulates a fine tribute. It's like a laurel wreath sent our way, and we're very honored to be able to have poems like this to read and enjoy. I appreciated it. I like the poem. I love the tonality. And I like where it took me. Very well done. Thank you.
Wonderful comments, everybody. I have a piece I'm going to put up by Self-Rise and Mojo. Just so I can get my screen to go where it needs to go. And Roland, if you would be so kind as to read this for us, I'd appreciate it.
Sure, I would.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Your tug and pluck still leaves scrugs in the dust by Self-Rise and Mojo. Our clock ticks as at 4 a.m. with string like the instrument. In the distance from where you are to how I sit like a soft bulb in an amber globe, why the walls emit sepia tone. The way it feels, it's so long ago. We're a little more than stick figures on the rear windows of our opposite direction. I can only imagine now the way I picture you in the tenor of a morning bird being worth far more than 1,000 words I wish I could have said. End poem. It's a great poem.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pam, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, this is a wonderful brevity. It just has beautiful and brilliant imagery. I really like the where it says, I sit like a soft bulb in an amber globe while the walls emit a sepia tone, the way it feels is so long ago. I thought this really paid wonderful tribute to the music within Banjo's poetry, as well as her love for music. So excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Pam. And Gray, how about you?
You did a great read on it, Roland, but, I liked the poem. It was descriptive and it was engaging. It had a imagery, I really liked, we are little more than stick figures on the rear windows of our opposite direction. I mean, how fantastic is that? And then I can only imagine now the way I picture you in the tenor of a morning bird. You know, just fantastic imagery and emotion throughout that. Beautifully written, an excellent read.
Wonderful comment, Gray. And Roland.
You know, for a brevity poem, so much punch. It's quick, it's sharp, it's witty, it's concise. The emotive tonality in it really, really grabs you. And again, I'm going to repeat to risk of being redundant a certain line. Can only imagine now the way I picture you in the tenor of a morning bird being worth far more than 1,000 words. I wish I could have said, that's incredible. I mean, just look at how many words there are there. It's just, it evokes just great emotion. And the other one, of course, like a soft bulb in the amber globe, why the walls emit and sepia tone. Just the interspersion of rhymes mixed in this brief brevity. It's really a complimentary poem. A great feeling. I'm impressed by this. He did great. I hope everyone agrees because I really liked this poem.
Yeah. Wonderful piece. I thought that Mojo really put it together beautifully and very well done. Absolutely. It captured something. Each poem tonight has captured a different facet, I believe, of Banjo Lynn. Some of them captured the same one twice, but for the most part, I think each person has reflected what they've seen in her for one reason or another. You know, how we interact with one another. We're not really the same with every person. You know, they see different bits of us, and I think that's been a wonderful reflection of her. Let me see. Okay. I have. Great. Can I get you to read this one for me? This is by Tritran.
You bet, yeah.
If I can find the room, we'll be in great shape. Okay, here we go. Whenever you're ready. Called The Rebirth in the Heaven by Tritran.
Oh, rest you, my bandolin, and let the autumn wind carry your shadow to the scintillating realm of golden peace. You have triumphed in your poetic mornings and prospered in your romantic nights. Your voice is still heard in your poems and your words are still seen on papers. Now your quill has ceased regurgitating its ink on blank pages and the birds have begun sipping dirges by your tomb. O poetress, may the new kingdom unfold to greet you, my dear bandolin. Will stick, tick, like driven or divine drum, when you reopen your blue eyes to enjoy heavenly beauty, O poetess, till the next sunrise. End poem.
Beautifully done, Roland. You want to start us off on this one?
Short and brief, he really put some effort and energy into the feeling here. Oh, rest you, my bandolin, let the autumn wind carry your shadow to the scintillating realm of golden peace. Great opening. Obviously, the individual has read her, was enthralled by her poetry, and he now brought his effervescence here to entertain us. My dear Banjo, in time will still tick like divine drum. O poetess, till the next sunrise. The ending is sweet. It has a nice closure like a bow on a present. I like the poem. It flows well. It's easy on the eyes and ears. Well done.
Great comment, Ron. Pam, how about you, hon?
This was absolutely beautiful. I like how it has a depth of spirituality to it, that it reminds us, you know, of the opening of heaven's gates. You know, I really liked the imagery in this. I liked the spiritual feel. I particularly liked that second and third stanza. So wonderful write and very well done.
Nice. And Greg, how about you?
Yeah, you know, it was deeply reverential. It was inspiring for such a brevity of a poem. I really liked O Poetess, may the new kingdom unfold to greet you. My dear Bandolin, time will stick. Tick like divine drum when you reopen your blue eyes to enjoy heavenly beauty. You know, like you can only hope that that's what's happening for her.
Oh. Nice comment. Okay. Well, I think I'm only going to stress this for a couple more. I have plenty. I can keep us going for a long time. But I think I'm going to put up one by Arndt. And then, Rowan, I have one more for you to read, if you don't mind. So.
Sure, Glenn.
Awesome. First up, this is by Arndt, and I have an audio for this. And then,
The Fiddle at Dawn, by Oz. You fucking hated diamonds. Your words. Perhaps you knew their truth. A celebration of weight and pressure. Of pain, heavy and tragic, like an unsubtle metaphor. Who'd want another ghost? Yet you too were crushed into brilliance. I picture you in your favorite yellow dress and red cowboy boots in that gay-ass meadow. Forgive me for speaking of diamonds at your eternal wedding. But I promise that in my mind, the setting is silver, and it all ends with a fiddle at dawn. End poem.
Okay. What a great piece by Arndt. Again, as a carryover from last night. Pam, would you like to start us off? Pam?
Oh, sorry, I didn't quite hear what name you said. Yeah, this is another wonderful tribute with brilliant imagery and metaphors. As always, it's just a treat to hear Orense's reading voice. I really like how she captures Banjolin's personality that came through in her poetry. I really like this all the way through, but especially the I picture you in your favorite yellow dress and red cowboy boots in that gay-ass meadow. Forgive me for speaking of diamonds at your eternal wedding, but I promise that in my mind the setting is silver. You know, I mean, all the way through, really, it's hard to separate it. It's just amazing, amazing lines, wonderful tidbits of humor, and very well done.
Great work. Great comment, Pam. And Gray, how about you?
Yeah, I thought it was just a beautiful read. And, you know, the poem itself is, I can picture Bandolin soaring on the winds of her words, you know, like in the yellow dress and red boots. And because it's just beautiful, it's airy and it's uplifting and it's, just a beautiful setting that she's presented here for the end of her life.
Nice, nice. And Roland, how about you?
Yeah, I have to apologize. I'm in the middle of finishing up preparing my dinner, so I did not get a chance to sit and read the poem, which I like to do when beyond just listening, so I beg pardon.
Okay, not a problem. And as I said, I have one more that I think I'm going to ask you to read, Roland. And
what's the title, please? Yeah, I can get over to my computer now. Okay, what is it?
Living with Banjo by Brian Reynolds.
Byron Reynolds?
No, Brian Roman. Oh, you know what? Are you looking at the contest? You're looking at the contest, aren't you? It's not in the contest. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Gray, I'm going to have you read this one. Because I think it would be better coming from one of you guys. Yeah, maybe not.
Okay, this is called Dueling with Banjo by Brian Roman. Your profile now says, the nice thing about saying nothing is you don't have to worry if you said it right. And that's true enough. But it used to say, blah, 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 love. And we used to go back and forth on here, me telling you after reading a poem of yours how your blahs were strong today, as if the force was with you, admiring your courage and vulnerability. Never truly believing you were as cynical about love as you often pretended, and you always knowing when my poems needed a haircut. At the end, those last few bullshit lines I added as an afterthought, and me knowing it too. You were one of the few I'd listened to as an editor. I wish I could say something better and more meaningful than thank you, but it's all I've got. I'm glad I've got to know you. As much as you let me, and the world is suddenly emptier, whether you believe it or not. I added these last lines. They suck, but just deal with it. Okay? End poem.
Yeah. Great read there, Greg. Great read. And Roland, would you like to comment on this one?
You said Roland?
I didn't read.
No, that's fine. Okay. I heard this one. I heard this one, though. Very personal and very real. He delivered his voice very strong and deliberate, with a sense of humor, sarcasm, a little bit of edginess to it, which I'm sure she'd appreciate and probably put a smile on her face because he had a respect for her and a good relationship, it seemed. It seems he knew her well enough to be able to write a poem of this caliber. I enjoyed it. I liked its vibe. Well done. Appreciated the poem.
Nice. Nice comment. And Pam?
Yeah, I really liked the humor in this. I liked the raw, gritty, and honest feeling that it had. A very clever title, Dueling with Banjo. You know, I like how this is about looking back on fond memories of someone who not only you respect, you consider a friend, and you consider someone that you respect as a poet. And so just wonderful lines all the way through, but I did particularly like that ending. I added these last lines. They suck, but just deal with it, okay? Just very cool lines and very well done.
That's clever.
Yeah. I like the realness of this piece myself. When Brian sent it to me, and he says, I don't know. He says, I'm not too sure about this one. I said, I like the real quality about it, because it's as if they were talking to one another back and forth. And I think that that's what I like the piece most. And I thought that it was a great piece for tonight, I thought. You have to have that personal touch somewhere, you know, like that, something just, I don't know, like everyday stuff. That's the way I see it.
He was talking
absolutely
to her.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. I'm sure he said a few other things in what he wrote down, too. Just saying, you know, that's the way we all tend to be. And I am going to play one more piece for tonight, and then I'm calling it. I'm honest to God, I'm going to call it a night. But this piece is by Together Forever, and it's called I Guess That Was Goodbye. And I'll put it up.
I can read that.
I have an audio. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Sure. And I hope it's this one. Oh, wait. Sugar, honey, ice cream. Let's figure out which contest this one is from.
I guess so.
Okay. I know which one it is now. God, it's a little confusing. And here we go.
I guess that was goodbye. A poem by Wendy Langdon in honor of Banjolin. I would say it was selfish of you to leave the way you did, but I won't, because no one knew the pain that led to you finally cross dying off of your bucket list.
No, that was a repeat. I'm so sorry. I had two poems by Together Forever. I played that one earlier. So let me do this one. And here we go. I'm going to put that. This one is called. I need to post a happy poem now so people will stop giving me. And I don't know what that was. So here we go. Here we go.
I need to post a happy poem now so people will stop giving me the Your Life Matters speech. A poem by Wendy Langdon in honor of Banjolin. I wish she could have heard us when we said it while she was still alive, but depression covered her eyes while it sang its demonic lullaby. Go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep now, my angel, forever. In our deep sorrow, we now cry with raised voices to the deep dark beyond. Her life mattered. End of poem.
Wow. Okay. And Gray, do you want to start us off on this one?
Sure. She did a beautiful read on her SoundCloud. But, I mean, the poem is, it's hard-hitting, you know. It really speaks to the suffering that Banjolin went through and how haunting is the ending. In our deep sorrow, we now cry with raised voices to the deep dark beyond. Her life mattered. And, just a haunting poem.
Yeah. A painful, painful little piece. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I have to agree. This is haunting. It's beautifully written. It's a sad and emotive tribute to Banjolin, but it's also on its own a wonderful rite that reminds us that there are people out there that struggle daily with depression. So excellent rite and very well done.
Absolutely. And Roland, how about you?
Yeah, very radiant in its emotiveness. You certainly put her flair in it. I like the touch of her reed with the little singing. That's pretty rare. Nice touch. Great angles of perception in describing Banjolin. Nice poem. Well written. Concise. And for such a brevity poem to be able to deliver such impactfulness, kind of a nice emergence as a celebration in the tribute to Banjolin. Very vivid counter. I like the layers. Well done. Good job.
Nice comment, Roland. Yeah, that was pretty hard-hitting for having so few lines. It just really, you know, it's kind of like a kick. Chopped on us, which, you know, I think was okay, because sometimes we all need to vent like that as well. I want to thank you guys for hanging out as long as you did. I have, I think, about 9 carryovers. I'm going to take those over to Friday. So, but I want to thank you all for hanging out and reading all the poetry and, you know, commenting, and, you know, it made it a wonderful experience. And I'm going to put everything that was read tonight up on the topic board over in the room for Banjo. And we're going to let it sit there. And when the show is done on Friday, I'll put that up as well. And and see where we can go from there. So I want to thank everyone again. I want to thank everyone who contributed poetry to the shows for the tribute. And sorry for the loss, everyone. Rough day and all poetry, you know. Yeah, it's my pleasure. And yeah, let's not do this anytime soon. Next time's got to be a wedding. We only do weddings. So everybody take it easy. Have a great night. And much love and prayers. And everybody stay well. And thanks, as always. Pam, thank you for co-hosting with me. You're wonderful. She's got it all down to a science. And thank you very much.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Bye, Greg.
Night, Phil. Much love, everybody.